You may be seated. I want to invite Sean James up, who will be preaching for us today. Many of you know Sean. Sean, yes, excellent. Sean serves as our director of facilities, but really, more so, we know him as Sean, and his wife, Casey, and their sons, Owen and Wyatt, have been a part of our community for several years now. Sean and Casey also help to lead the Round Rock Neighborhood Group. Sean leads the missions teams, and he's also an aspirant to holy orders, so going through the process of discerning a calling to pastoral priestly ministry in the Anglican Church. So it's a delight to get to welcome him to preach for us this morning. And as is our custom, I want to invite you to extend a hand as we pray over Sean. God, thank you for the ways in which you have led and formed Sean. The ways in which you have nurtured and grown his love of you and his love of your people. We ask that all of the fruit of that, in whatever ways it can be born in heart and mind and body in a sermon, would be born in this moment. Holy Spirit, would you meet him? Would you meet us through the preaching of your word? We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. Like Sarah said, my name is Sean. If we haven't had the pleasure of meeting yet, please come say hi. I love getting to meet new folks. I know we've got a lot of visitors here this morning as well. My wife, Casey, and I have called Church of the Cross home for almost 4 years now. It's crazy how fast that has just blown by for us. And we've had two kids here, and we just feel incredibly blessed by this community. And I'm so excited that I get to share some of God's word with you, with us. I know it's been a powerful passage sitting and thinking about this in preparation for this morning. If y'all wouldn't mind, just pray before I get started. Heavenly Lord, thank you for the season of Advent. As we approach Christmas and the coming celebration and the feasting, Lord, allow us to be fully present today for these last few days of Advent, Lord. Allow us not to hurry past what you have for us, but instead, Holy Spirit, open our minds, our hearts, our lives to receive whatever else you have for us in this season. Allow us to be present to you with open ears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we've been doing over these past few weeks, we've been journeying through the season of Advent, meditating on Psalms of Longing. Joe Ho began us on our first Sunday of Advent, bringing attention to how God longs for us to obey and follow him and adjust our longings to align with his longings. Mother Sarah then led us in considering how we are each wrestling with our own personal longings, and how we can come to God seeking restoration in light of his goodness to us. And last week, Mother Kimberly asked us to consider what it means for us to have shared communal longings that we enter into together, especially as a gathered church here at Church of the Cross. If you missed any of those sermons, I encourage you, if possible, before Advent passes us by in the next few days, go back and listen to them. I found them all incredibly helpful and thought-provoking. After these past weeks, we are still focusing on longing today. As we get closer and closer to the celebration of Christmas, staying focused on longing is honestly difficult. Like a child experiences trying to go to bed on Christmas Eve, longing for what is to come can be the hardest on the verge of receiving what you're yearning for. We must resist the "are we there yet" impulse of our progress-focused minds. And I would encourage us to stick with it instead of prematurely jumping to the celebration of Christmas. I believe God still has more for us here. In the psalm that we read today, Psalm 80, we find the people of God longing for restoration. They are wrestling with their current situation. They are oppressed, suffering, and estranged from where they're supposed to be. The psalm excerpt that we read today says, "O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people that pray? You feed them with the bread of tears and give them plenteous tears to drink. You have made us the derision of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh us to scorn." As we have dwelt on this topic through these past weeks, in this psalm, we can identify with the cries of longing. There are things that are broken within us and in our world. There are conflicts and wounds from other people in our lives. There is injustice that runs rampant in the world around us. There are prayers that aren't being answered, and we can't find a good reason why God wouldn't answer them. There are times when it feels like the only thing that God is serving us up is a meal of tears. In response to these troubles and these heartaches, the psalm that we read actually lays out a path forward. Psalm 80 has a repeating refrain, almost a chorus, if you will. We read it in today's excerpt in verse 3 and verse 7. As the psalm continues past the selected reading we read today, it's repeated at the very end of the psalm in verse 19. You can see this refrain in the front of your bulletin for easy access. It says, "Restore us again, O God. Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be whole." Echoing the weeks we have spent on this topic of longing, this psalm has God's longing, our communal longing, and our own personal longings all wrapped up together. If we pull apart the refrain and start from the end of it, we can see that the ultimate longing of the psalmist is to be whole. I appreciate how this translation that we read the psalms from uses the word whole. If you go to other translations, probably the ones that we've all grown up reading, it'll say things like saved or helped. Ultimately, though, I've found this rendering of whole to be specifically helpful for our meditation on longing. To be saved, helped, or aided are all ultimately at the aim of making something whole. Being made whole is truly what I find myself longing for over and over again. Whether wholeness would be found through reconciliation, fulfillment, healing, or any other avenue, we are longing for something that is missing or lacking. The middle of this refrain, the psalmist points out what will bring about wholeness. It is the light of God's countenance being shown to us. Countenance is one of those words we don't often hear and can feel a bit amorphous. But at its core, it means God's face or attention being turned towards us. The psalmist is saying that if God shows himself with his glory, mercy, and love, we will be made whole. Amid all the horrible things that the psalmist and the people of God are experiencing, the identified cure is God's presence. If he reveals himself, all things will be well. But how do we experience or find access to this presence? The refrain begins, "Restore us again, O God." This word restore is translated differently depending on your translation. A dictionary definition of this specific Hebrew word that I found says to make linear motion back to a point previously departed. But for those of us who spend a lot of our lives chasing after children, turn around feels a little bit more apt. The psalmist is crying out for God to turn his people. It's not something that the people themselves can do, but rather something God is doing to them. He turns them back around so that they can experience him. The desire is that he would bring us to repentance and that we would be brought back as his people. In the original hearing of this psalm, the people of God are scattered, having lost their unity, their land, and their belonging. The psalm identifies that God desires to change them and to bring them back to himself, where they will ultimately find their fulfillment. For us today, the restoration we are longing for personally and communally also requires this turning that only God can do. If I were to write my own paraphrase, the Sean James version, if you will, of this refrain, it would be, "Turn us back to see you, and then we will be whole." Recently, my oldest son, Wyatt, has been potty training. I know that there are a lot of people here in our church community who are currently in the throes of potty training or maybe have recently made their way through. It's one of those things that involves great celebration and deep, deep, dark woes. Wyatt, he has been doing great. But in the past couple of weeks, we've had a new struggle. When Casey or I try to encourage him to go try to use the potty in a preemptive attempt to avoid an accident, he resists us. Usually we can see, probably before he's even fully aware, that he needs to take a potty break. The characteristic shuffle dance is going on, and we know that if he doesn't stop what he's doing and go take a break, we're going to be breaking out the carpet cleaner and starting another load of laundry. The issue is when we say, go use the potty, he resists us and shouts back, no, I don't need to go. He doesn't want to disrupt what he's doing in that moment, or he's stuck thinking that he knows best. The past couple of weeks have honestly, we've just been struggling with this. And if I'm honest, Casey way more than me. We finally found something that has somewhat consistently worked though. If he's shouting no, but clearly needs to go, we've been able to get down on his level, hold out both of our hands, and ask for his hands. When he holds both of my hands, he can stop and look me in the face in a truly intimate way. From that posture, we can encourage him to do what needs to be done, and he's able to actually hear it. We've gotten to the place now where I can get down on my knees, hold out both of my hands, and just say hands, and he'll come up, take hold of both of my hands, and look and listen. I think similarly to me potty training my son to receive the good wholeness of God, I need to be turned towards him and experience his face intimately. In the past months, I have been wrestling with longing. This passage that was assigned in this season hit me personally more than I thought it would as I considered these things. There are things in my life that I have wanted to be different. As Joe described them in our first Advent Sunday, they are knots in the pit of my stomach that highlight things that are missing or lacking. I have experienced deep hurts that I want healing from. There are circumstances that haven't or didn't play out the way I wanted them to. There have been moments when I've been very aware of things that are lacking wholeness, and I'm honestly tired of waiting. One of the biggest things that I find myself slipping into is a bit of crusty cynicism or negativity. When I get into this place, it can be hard for me to trust that God hears me or that if he does, he'll even do anything about it. This puts me in a place where I'm not postured to be turned by God. Like my son, when he says he defiantly knows better than me, I can be resistant to God when he wants to get on my level, take both of my hands, and turn me back towards him. Are we ready for God's turning, which brings about restoration? When God brings wholeness, it can be incredibly disruptive. When we are comfortable with the way things have been, even while we're actively lamenting them, we can become resistant to the changes that come with that restoration. The man at the pool of Bethesda who has an interaction with Jesus in John chapter 5 has come to mind when I'm thinking through this question. There was a lame man who had been waiting at the specific pool in Jerusalem for 38 years, and he was hoping to experience a healing, a miraculous healing that was rumored to happen at this specific location. Jesus comes across this man and asks a strange question. Do you want to get well? This man had been longing to be well for decades. What kind of question is Jesus asking him? The man's response is an explanation of why things have been so hard for him and why, even though he has been in this place of longing for so long, nothing has improved for him. He's not aware that Jesus is the answer to his longing right there in front of him. But for Jesus to fulfill his longings, this man's life would completely change. It would be completely upended. The majority of his life had been defined by his difficulty, had been defined by his longings. It was completely disruptive for restoration to happen. When Jesus healed him, he became a whole new person. His whole life looked completely different. While good, it was incredibly disruptive. Jesus' question, "Do you want to be well?" was an honest one. It is an honest one. Are you ready for restoration to stir up everything in your life? This morning, we read a gospel passage in which Mary sings a song praising God for what he is doing through her pregnancy and how he's bringing about salvation and restoration for his people. Mary joyfully jumped into the restoration that God was bringing through the baby in her womb. But it was and would continue to be incredibly disruptive. She's a young woman, pledged to be married, and now is pregnant through suspicious or mysterious ways to the perception of her family and neighbors. She then has to travel out of town when she's 9 months pregnant and give birth to a son in an inhospitable place having to place him in a food trough to sleep. Shortly after that, the king and the government on our search to find and kill this baby. And so she has to rush out into the desert in the middle of the night with her infant son and her husband. They are forced as refugees to go live in a foreign country that they were not prepared to move to. While she's there in that foreign land, she would have heard about how when the king couldn't find her son, he executed all of the young boys her son's age in the town she had just left. A few years later, she's able to return to raise her son back in her home country, but not back in her hometown because it's still too dangerous. Ultimately, 30 years later, Mary is found standing at the foot of an executioner's cross as her son, the long-promised fulfillment, gasps his last breath. The bringing of wholeness to Israel, the world, and Mary herself was an incredibly difficult journey. But Mary's song points us to the reality that grounded her ultimate trust. She sings, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." In her song, it is clear that Mary has experienced the presence of God. He has turned her to see him, and he has shown himself openly to her. The source of her blessing and her wholeness is God himself. Her posture that she sings about of a humble servant allowed God to turn her towards himself and show where wholeness is truly found. There is plenty of waiting and longing that Mary continued to experience. Even though the Son of God had come, not everything was yet made right. There was still brokenness. But you can tell that she trusted God and that in the midst of the brokenness and upheaval in her life, she had experienced the light of God's countenance. So in the light of our psalm and the Song of Mary that we read today, how do we walk out these last few days of Advent? As we conclude Advent this week and the next few days, let us be present to our longings. While we are traveling, preparing, and maybe even doing some last-minute present wrapping, I pray we will find moments of quiet contemplation and the ability to be honest and present to our longings, where we yearn for wholeness, where we wait for things to be restored. There are specific things that are very real in each of our own lives, whether it's broken relationships, a sense of distance from God, a lack of clarity or joy about the future. There's things that we hold as a community, as we discussed last week, where we look around our city and we see brokenness and a desire to meet it. Whatever our longings may be, they need to be honestly seen and not hidden away. That is one of the great gifts that we experience as people who celebrate the season of Advent, that we can be honest. But in that being aware and honest about our longings, let us also interrogate our posture. Are we waiting in a place of trust and hope? Are we ready to experience restoration? Are we able to trust the God that Mary worships? If I'm completely honest, I'm not sure that I always do. Some of these longings have been with me for so long that I don't know what life would look like without them. What I need is for God to turn me back towards his face, so I can recognize where truly where wholeness comes from. In the spirit of Psalm 80, my cry is that God would turn me to see him. The restoration that God brings truly requires his turning of us. It involves us with our personal, our communal longings to surrender control and to lean into the longing that God has for us. The promise that God gives us in the midst of this is that we will not be alone. In fact, he promises to be Emmanuel, God with us. When it comes to God getting down on our level to grab our attention, it doesn't get much more on our level than the incarnation of Christ. The light of the world is in fact coming, and in his light, we can truly experience the presence of God. It is the only way that we can truly be found whole. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that while we were so far from you, that you have pursued us, that you have loved us first. In these next few days, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, let us be honest before you. And Lord, poke us in areas where our posture needs to change. Highlight our areas of lack of trust, of cynicism, of negativity, or even attachment to our longings in a way that's unhealthy. And turn us to see your face. It's in the name of that incarnate Emmanuel that we pray. Amen.